number 022064, the United States against George Kelly. Mr. Ackerman.
Judge Ripple, if it pleases the court, I'm Alan Ackerman, along with Steve Comey. We represent the appellant, George Kelly. Welcome. The position of Mr. Kelly is essentially as follows. Number one, neither Mr. Comey nor myself are advocates of child pornography. We are advocates of the First Amendment. Number two, neither Mr. Comey nor myself suggest to the court that George Kelly is entitled to a good conduct medal. He is not. The sole question that we ask the court to consider is whether the district court properly sentenced Mr. Kelly for an offense which may not be an offense after Ashcroft. And that's the essence of our position. Now, most assuredly, the majority opinion in Ashcroft per Justice Kennedy clearly held, while affirming the Ninth Circuit's decision, that sections 2256A, 8B like boy and D like David were constitutionally prohibited. They were vague. Now, did the majority opinion in Ashcroft go any further? Our reply brief suggests to the court that Justice Kennedy, for the majority, was taking a far broader view of the CPPA than simply 2256, 8B, and D.
But Mr. Ackerman, not only has no other court of appeals, to my knowledge, agreed with your position. I've looked at Ashcroft against free speech more than once and looked at it again in conjunction with this appeal, and I have to tell you that the way Judge Kennedy sets up the case, the way the entire discussion goes, makes it rather clear to me that he has carved out of his discussion the Ferber set of cases, the child pornography set of cases. I really don't see anything in that opinion to suggest that actual use of real children is being discussed by the majority. I mean, obviously we have to interpret it. This is a question of law, but I'm telling you that looking at the language in it, I think you've got an uphill battle.
I grant the court that it is an uphill battle, and we make no suggestion otherwise. Our position, in part, is this. There are two cases in particular where the court, in light of Ashcroft, granted cert, vacated, and remanded. One of those is United States versus Fox, and the other is United States versus Mento, both cited in our reply brief.
And remember, we're in dangerous territory anyway if we're talking about things that you're raising in your reply brief, but I'm passing over that for the moment. But you know yourself, I mean, the court gets a lot of petitions for cert around an issue, it decides a case, and then it goes through a process of grant, vacate, and remand just to make sure that the lower courts can verify that their earlier opinions are now correct, if you will, are within the confines of what the new opinion is. I think it would be a mistake to read lots of substance into a grant, vacate, and remand order.
I only suggest that these two cases, Fox and Mento, have some impact in the case at hand because both involve real as opposed to virtual images, at least in part. Both Mento and Fox conceded in the district court originally that that was the case. And notwithstanding that, in fact, in the majority opinion in Ashcroft, I think Fox is mentioned by Justice Kennedy, I believe. That said, I don't know that there's any useful purpose in spending any more time on the issue. It's fairly clear. If the court agrees with the district court, there'll be an affirmation. If the court disagrees, there should be a vacation and remand with directions to dismiss the count. That's frankly our position. And I'll concur with Judge Wood. It's not an easy argument in this case. I still think it's the correct argument. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ackerman. We'll hear now from Mr. Funk.
May it please the Court, Marcus Funk on behalf of the United States. Defendant's appeal is based on a fundamental misreading of Ashcroft versus free speech. It is contrary, the arguments made in the brief are contrary to the established case law that the Supreme Court has handed down in the area of child pornography. And finally, it is contrary, flatly contrary, to every single judicial pronouncement on the issue in interpreting Ashcroft versus Free Speech Coalition. And so that for those reasons, the government would request that this court affirm the district court's decision.
I'd like to ask you one question about Strachey, because in dealing with the motion, because the government's papers seem to believe that Mr. Kelly's case is distinguishable from Strachey because he pleaded guilty. But the defendant in Strachey also pleaded guilty. And I'm at a loss.
Your Honor, I believe that in Strachey, the holding was that the citation to the PSR was appropriate because the court said that the district court considered the PSR in reviewing the district court sentencing decision. And in fact, we adopt that reasoning here. In this case, the district court, the facts were undisputed. The defendant never objected to any of the facts related in the government's version or the PSR.
The district court never explicitly adopted the factual findings of the PSR at the sentencing hearing here. There's a box checked on the district court judgment form saying so, but she certainly did not, as I say, explicitly adopt the factual findings. And I mean, sort of an odd situation because the box is likely to be checked in all cases. The detail that swallows up any kind of rule is very odd.
Your Honor, it's simply the government's position in a case like this where there is no factual basis in the sense of a plea agreement, and the only facts that the court can rely on, Court of Appeals can rely on, are the facts that the parties discussed in the open court, the government's version, which was unobjected to, and the facts that were adopted by the district court in the sense of the checking of the box that there would be useful background for this court to make its decision on.
Again, Judge Rovner's concern is that the basic rule, you would agree, is that the PSR is confidential,
yes,
right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So is it the government's position that this confidentiality is destroyed every time the box is checked?
No, Your Honor, it's not the government's position. In this case, there was nothing in the government's brief that was somehow not in the public record. If that's perhaps the citation to the PSR could have been avoided, but the discussion of the case, the facts underlying the case, the facts were relevant to the various enhancements for the state of masochistic abuse and the like, and all those facts were discussed in open court.
What's the name of the church discussed in open court?
I am not sure if the name of the church.
No.
It was previously discussed, I believe, Your Honor.
Were the screen names discussed in open court? What's the period of time? What's the instruments that were used? I mean, there was whatever was hanging from the wall flare. You get my drift.
I do, Your Honor.
There's a reason that the PSR is supposed to be confidential. And, you know, this sort of meandering into new territory is a little scary to me, I'll tell you.
Your Honor, certainly the government will clearly take the court's concern to heart in this case. In this case, the facts set forth in the government's version, or I should say in the government's brief, are not necessary for you to reach a conclusion in this case. There was no dispute that there were actual children involved, and for those reasons, the government would request that this court affirm.
Thank you, Mr. Funk.
Thank you.
Do you have anything further, Mr. Ackerman?
The concerns expressed by the court regarding the motion we filed to strike the government statement of facts, I find it very problematic because it could, in theory, color the court's view of the case itself. We presented only a question of law, nothing more. We did not challenge the plea. We did not challenge the facts below. All we challenged is the law, as opposed to the information filed, which is part of tab 2. I think the court could justifiably strike the statement of facts and nonetheless reach whatever decision it will reach. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ackerman. Indeed, thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.